and
Oddworld.
Hey Oddballs, I'm your host Jensen, and welcome to episode 11. So I am really excited because fall starts next week. Yes, I am that person. I love fall because summer is just too damn hot and it's not a fun time unless you're at a pool or by a body of water all day, every day. So I'm here for the fall weather, and hopefully it is fall weather by now because I am pre-recording, but but also it is a fall birthday season too. I mean, that doesn't really make sense. Anybody's birthday who is in fall is, you're lucky, okay? My birthday is in winter and it's a 50-50 chance whether it's going to be warm or freezing. So, you know, fall is, this time of year is like a 50-50 whether it's going to be balls hot or chilly. But, you know, while we're on the topic of birthdays, I'm going to be reading September 14th birthdays today. So let's get on with it. Perhaps the primary preoccupation of those born on this day is with bringing order to any system or a person that they suspect is not realizing its maximum potential. Possessed of an acutely critical eye, the results of their incisive intellects and their observant natures, they find it easy to identify areas in which the component parts are imbalanced or deficient in some way. Because their urge to plan, organize, control, and thereby institute and maintain smoothly running and effective programs is so strong, and even more so if they were born on the Chinese year of the ox, they are able to take charge of situations quickly, work with optimum strategies for success, and then direct actions of others. September 14th individuals are thus natural leaders who pursue their goals with determined sense of purpose and expect others to do the same, and will flourish in any career where they can harmonize discord and bring about tangible results. The scientific, political, and legal professions are particularly well starred, as are city planning and building trades. Yet, these individuals are not totally geared towards intellectual or professional pursuits. To the contrary, they innately understand the importance of counterbalancing the pressures of work with a full personal life. Many of them are somewhat sensuous types, who appreciate beauty in all its manifold forms and possess a lively sense of fun. Responsible friends and family members, and totally devoted, if at times controlling, parents. They are also good conversationalists and sociable types who enjoy surrounding themselves with people and hosting well-organized social entertainments. Virtues are energetic, efficient, steadfast. Vices are critical, meddlesome, and stubborn. So I hope you September 14th babies have a wonderful day, and let's get on with the stories.
This comes from UselessGender426 on Reddit.
Okay, so when I was really little, about 3, I started to see shadows of people walking towards my room, but nobody was ever there. So when this was going on, I was living in a 3-story house. The 3 bedrooms in the house were on the top floor, and mine was the room closest to the stairs. Almost every night, for as far back as I can remember, when I looked out of the doorway of my bedroom, I could see a shadow of a humanoid figure walking up the stairs, frozen in place. It had long arms and legs and would always freak me out. Slowly, over about a year, the shadow inched its way further up the step. Only one step, I would tell my mom and dad about the walking shadows. That's what I called it. But they would dismiss it as a shadow of the stair banister. I remember one time late at night, it must have been 1 or 2 a.m., when I finally noticed how close the shadow was getting to my room. I had been about 4 or 5, and I absolutely freaked out. I started loudly pleading with the shadow and begging it just to not hurt my favorite stuffed animal and to take anything else but my favorite stuffed animal. I was so loud, I woke up my parents, who tried to calm me down for the rest of the night. They never looked in the direction of the shadow. They continued to blame the shadow on the banister, but last time I checked, a banister did not look humanoid and definitely didn't move. When I was 6, my parents divorced, but my dad, who got the house in divorce court, didn't sell the house. Now, it was just him and I in this sizable 3-story house. My dad got partial custody of me, so I was at his house every Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, as well as every other weekend, and every night I spent at his house was torture. The walking shadows continued to appear in the night. Then, when I was about 8 years old, they went away for a couple months. They stopped appearing at night, and I finally felt at peace. That was the quiet before the storm. During these couple of months, my dad would give me the wonderful news that we were moving. Shortly after, whatever thing was part of the walking shadows decided to come back from its little vacation. Instead of the shadows, however, it was a little more present. Now at night, you could hear pots and pans banging around the kitchen on the first floor, almost like someone was loudly and clumsily trying to make a 3-course meal. My father suffers from sleep apnea and used to sleep with a loud machine, so he never heard any of it. But I would hear it every night that I slept over. Then we moved. And everything was fine for about a year or so. But then, I would start to hear the pots and pans again. That went on for a couple of months. Then I started getting night terrors. I was in the 6th grade at this point, and the lack of sleep became so bad that during recess, I would sleep on the bench outside, if only to get 5 minutes of needed sleep. It also showed in my grades, as I fell asleep in math class often. It was my first class of the day, and ended up with a D as the final grade for the year. I remember one night in particular, and I'll never forget this. I felt a weight sit on my legs that I knew wasn't my dad. The weight stayed on my legs for about 5 minutes. Then it was gone. I didn't dare open my eyes during those 5 minutes, terrified of what I may or may not see. I didn't fall back asleep either that night. One other time, and I don't think I could ever forget this night either, I was in the 7th grade and about 12 years old, and I had to use the bathroom that night. So like any normal person, I got up and went down the hallway to the bathroom. When I was done, I went to leave, and as I reached for the handle of the door, suddenly there was a violent banging at the door. A banging that I knew my father would never do, as he would yell at me for doing something like that. I had been groggy, but the banging certainly woke me up. I stayed in that bathroom for another 30 minutes after the banging ended. Then I opened the door of the bathroom quickly and made a run for it down the hallway towards my room. I got to my room, quickly flipped the light on, and practically slammed the door. I don't know how important this is, but I can tell you that I saw the same walking shadow on the floor in front of my doorway as I was closing the door. I stayed awake for another hour or so, but the fact being that I was 12 and already sleep deprived, I soon turned off the light and went back to sleep. I had a horrid nightmare that night that I can't really remember, but I remember the fear. The worst part was right before I woke up. That's the part that I most definitely do remember. In the dream, I was in my room, in the dark, and all of a sudden, the same violent banging that I had dealt with in the bathroom, I was now experiencing against my bedroom door. And one of the worst aspects was that this time, my father's voice accompanied it, yelling, pleading for me to open the door. I then jolted awake. It's been years since then, but nothing that extreme has happened. I still get nightmares, but nothing like that. And God, I hope to never experience any of that situation again. To be entirely honest, I've never written this entire experience out before. And doing so shakes me up a little. And as cheesy as it sounds, while writing this, I've teared up several times. I believe that what I've seen, felt, and heard have put nothing but fear towards those memories. I'm currently 15 now, and having written this post, I almost feel as though whatever spirit there is will somehow get mad that I've shared the story. I won't be back at my father's until next Tuesday, but if anything happens, I'll share it. Okay, so no. I am not a fan of any of that. I don't really know what the shadow, like, slowly moving up the stairs would be. If someone could, like, let me know, that would be fantastic, because that's a new one for me, too. I feel like reading all these stories, I'm getting new information about things that I've literally never heard of before. Like the pink figure in one of the old episodes that I've done. This is a new one for me. Like shadow figures, normal stuff. But this one, like slowly creeping up the stairs, horrifying. Okay? That's horrifying. And just the fact that your bedroom is by the stairs too, and you can see that, that's just horrifying in itself. That's a horror movie. But anyhow, if anybody has any idea, please comment and let me know. But we're going to go ahead and move on to story number two. This comes from XP Corinne on Reddit. Paranormal stuff has always been normal in my life and family. But this one definitely surprised me. About a year ago, I decided to bond my 3-year-old rabbit to the love of his life. So we had some bunny dates at the shelter, and he found the one. First few months of the new bunny living with us was weird. My one rabbit would randomly begin stomping, growling, and staring into one space. But the newly adopted rabbit would never react. My bunny was super nice to the new one. Only took him 2 weeks to bond. But he would always be upset and display signs of aggression towards nothing. I never saw or heard anything until a few weeks later. I would see shadows shift on the walls and feel an uneasy presence near me. I'd get extremely anxious and nauseous for no reason whenever I was in the bunny room. And then my other bunny would begin stomping, growling, etc. Shortly after, the temperature in one part of the room would randomly become freezing cold, but the rest of the room in the house would be at normal temp. I'd even randomly feel cold spots on the sides of my neck and arm, only when in the room. All of these things became more persistent, and my bunny would continuously try to attack an empty space. So I looked into it and discovered some protections to set around the house. After about 2 months, it completely stopped and nothing has happened since. Super weird since it happened right when we took in the newly adopted bunny. Still don't know what to think about it. So, is it bad that when I think of bunnies and, like, if anything evil ever happens, I think of a white bunny with red eyes, like specifically that? It's probably because of TV and horror movies or whatever, but that is specifically what I think of, and that it just seems like a really evil bunny to me. I know all you bunny lovers out there, I'm so sorry. You probably have this sweet little baby in your house and they're not evil, but that's just what my mind goes to. So anyhow, if you guys have any crazy little, I don't know, animal stories, that's a new one too. See, all these new stories, I'm loving this. This is good. This is refreshing. But yeah, if you guys have stories of bunnies or shadows or any kind of anything, please send them to me. You can even send them on Reddit. Yes, I have a Reddit if you didn't know. It's linked below in the show notes. But I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and well, it's an odd world after all.
Oddballs, go follow us on It's an Odd World After All podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Also, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If you have a story you would like to share, email us at itsanoddworldafterall@gmail.com or message us on one of our social platforms. Don't forget to share us with your family and friends. And check out our website, itsanoddworldafterall.com.